Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour. We haven't had a chance to speak with Nancy since our wonderful event at the Art Museum here in Milwaukee in November, I believe it was, where we had just a wonderful time. Nancy has received quite an honor. She's had a lot of awards, but this one was a midwinter conference of the American Library Association, and she was honored as Librarian of the Year from the Library Journal. She received an award from the publication that has tracked library activities for 133 years. Honors that typically go to library directors and meritorious staffs fell to Nancy Pearl, who has sent so many people to the library, to the bookstore, to a certain book. She's been my librarian for years. When she says, you have to read this, I listen to what Nancy has to say. She is was the executive director of the Seattle Public Library's Washington Center for the Book, and came up with a brilliant idea, If All Seattle Reads the Same Book. And she's done the whole series of Booklust books. Booklust to Go is the latest recommended reading for travelers, vagabonds, and dreamers. And she's writing a novel now, she told us the last time we saw her. So we'll see how that is progressing. We are talking about great reads for 2011, what you're reading now, suggestions. We'll give you suggestions. She's our personal, if you read this, then you will like that. And then she goes beyond that. You should read to stretch your reading. If you read this and that, read this in order to really stretch yourself and get a more complete understanding of the author or the subject matter. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Nancy. Our phone lines get crowded when she's on. So here's the number. Call in early if you would like. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And you can also send an email if you would like. That's talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hi, Nancy. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you, Kathleen.
And congratulations on the award.
Oh, thank you. That was quite an honor and a shock.
It was a shock, really?
Yes, because of the reasons that you said. I mean, it usually does go to, I've never seen it not go to a library director or, a staff member at a particular library. So it was just wonderful, and I got to read some of the nominating letters, and they were just great.
Oh, it's good to have that in your life every now and then, isn't it? People saying they love
yes.
you. And
yes.
and so many people have benefited. You're so worthy of this from all of your recommendations and for your enthusiasm and your memory and the work you've done and your brilliant ideas. It's just, you would be the natural pick as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very, very nice. How's the novel coming?
Well, it's not coming I'm not having a chance to work on it as much as I still think about it all the time, but as everybody out there knows who wants to write, it's really a question of self-discipline and sitting yourself down and just doing it, at least getting that first draft done, and then you have something to work with. So things I've had to do have gotten in the way kind of my just sitting down and doing it, but I'm hoping to start doing it.
It's all these darned honors, right?
Yes, right. And then I got to interview at the American Library Association. I got to interview Neil Gaiman.
Oh.
And he kind of lives in your neck of the woods. And I had never met him before or anything, and that was a little bit nerve-wracking at just thinking about it, but he was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ended up, it was like we were sitting in my living room, only on much nicer furniture, and just talking. So that was great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I'm really looking forward to reading your novel. I hope that it will be one of my highlights of 2011.
No.
No.
2012, 13, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. All right. 2012, 2013.
There'll be many
that
good
be
books
okay.
in between.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've been doing a lot of history, and tomorrow we've got, Nancy, this book is so big. I love looking at pictures of George Washington.
And
we're doing the Washington book tomorrow, Ron Chernow, which is about 1,000 pages long. But it's so, I love this kind of, I love history. The older I get, the more I love this, because it reads almost like, his story is just amazing to me, and it's very well written, and it's good to know a lot about George Washington.
Yes. Oh, I thought that was, it was a wonderful book. I mean, it is a little bit daunting to look at. All of his books, all of Ron Chernow's books are like that. And, I mean, he did a wonderful biography of the Warburgs, a great banking family.
Yes.
And he manages to take a subject like Washington that we, about whom we feel like we know so much, but most of us know very, very little about him. And I think that that's just great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then Joseph Ellis was on last week or the week before. I just find them endlessly fascinating, as I do Abraham Lincoln, everybody knows. But the Abigail and John Adams, also their story, their love story, in addition to this incredible time in which they lived, fascinates me. I've read a lot about them now.
Uh-huh. I think every generation needs to rethink these iconic figures. Mm. Nathaniel Philbrick does that in his book, Last Stand, the story of Custer, Sitting Bull, and the Battle of the Little Bighorn. And to take these iconic individuals and try to give and succeed, I think both Chernow and Nathaniel Philbrick succeed in really making you look at the man behind the myth. And certainly Philbrick does that both for Custer and for Sitting Bull.
Yeah.
I agree. I think history is great. And there's some wonderful historical mysteries jumping the ocean. Historical mysteries set during the reign of Henry VIII by a guy named S.J. Sansom, S-A-N-S-O-M. And he is a lawyer who again, the mysteries are very thick, but he's a lawyer at that time, and his connections with Henry VIII and the whole Protestant-Catholic divide. I mean, you just get so much. It's so wonderful.
S.J. Sansom.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll have to go that direction.
And that's one that I think you might want to start at the beginning, because I think to see it, to watch it develop, would be the best way to do it.
Okay. You start at the beginning. What do you mean?
Oh, the first book.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many books are there?
I think there are five. I think the first one just came out.
Oh, okay.
So any I think Anglophile and historical mystery fan will love those books.
Okay. And we had somebody on Facebook actually yesterday who wanted to thank you profusely for recommending Last Stand.
Oh, good.
Which I thought was very nice. And you mentioned it just now, which is also very nice. So what's on your, there are probably 15 books on your table right now, but what's going through your mind now with your reading?
A book, sometimes you're sort of familiar, for me, sometimes I'm familiar with an author. Maybe I try to a book and it didn't stick in my head, I didn't love it, and then you pick up the new book and you're just so taken in with it, all you want to do is run to the bookstore and get all the earlier books, or the library and get all the earlier books. And so that's happening to me right now. There's a new novel by a woman named J.O. Walton, and this one is called Among Others. Now, all the blurbs are from fantasy writers, fantasy and science fiction writers, and I suppose that this will be shelved. I mean, I know for sure it'll be shelved with fantasy, and that means that many people think they don't like fantasy, you won't find it. So that's why I want to try to talk it up a lot. It's wonderful. It's the journal of a 15-year-old girl, and she's been sent away to boarding school after an accident. That killed her twin sister and damaged her pelvis, so she has to walk she's in still a lot of pain. There are fairies in it. She grew up in Wales, so you have all that kind of Welsh stuff. And I have no idea. I am maybe two-thirds of the way done. I have no idea how it's going to end.
Oh, really? Oh.
No. It's and because it's done as a journal, you really get into her voice, and I love it. I mean, I just think it's fabulous. I can't wait to see, you know, there are hints here and there, and it, maybe even the best part is that she loves fantasy. The main character, 15-year-old, loves fantasy novels and science fiction, and you know, sprinkled, liberally sprinkled throughout the book are references to other books and other writers like Ursula Le Guin and Robert Silverberg and Robert Heinlein and a littler known writer named Sylvia Engdahl. I Capture the Castle, she talks about in here. I mean, it's just so much fun to read a book, a novel, in which the main character is a reader and doesn't hesitate to express her opinions about the book. Oh, God.
You like it, I know.
I know. And it's one of those things where you don't want to say anything about it except, oh, try it, because
okay.
That's why I don't like blurbs on books or even jacket copy that gives anything away.
Right.
I just want people to really experience it sort of whole.
Uh-huh. All right. You talk me into it. I'll do it. Is Joe Welsh or not?
You know, let me see. I will look on the jacket, which I haven't had the book.
You will look on the jacket after. Right. But just don't read how it ends.
Yes.
It won't
she's
be
a,
on the
she's
jacket.
She's a native of Wales.
Oh, she is?
In Montreal.
Oh. There's a place, when we were talking about places we need to go, have you been to Wales? I can see you tucking yourself inside of Wales for a while, Nancy.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it's a good place. There are a lot of sheep and a lot of hills, and there's something warm, but, you know, kind of, you got to, very historical, very mysterious in a way, but beautiful, too. It's a great place.
That's so coincidental because we're planning on going to for like a walking trip in Wales.
Oh, you are? Really?
Yep.
Oh, good for you, Nancy.
Oh, that really sounds great.
Oh, you're going to have a wonderful time there. Oh, I'm envious of that one.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Good for you. All right, let's go to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. We start with Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi there. This winter, I'm rereading some of my favorites. I've just finished Pride and Prejudice, and now I'm on to the Lord of the Rings series. But I'm calling for my husband, because he's stuck. By chance, he picked up an author, Jeff Shera. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation. He's normally a nonfiction reader, and he picked up this one knowing it was fiction, not thinking he was going to love it. Well, he did. So he went back and he's read Jeff Shera's entire historical fiction series. And he's been looking for another historical fiction author. He's tried Ken Follett and didn't love it.
Uh-huh.
So
Now Jeff Shera is the son of Michael... Jeff Shera, I think that's how it's pronounced, is the son of Michael Shera. And Michael Shera's novel about the Civil War, which is called... The Killer Angels is I think even better than his son's books. I mean, I think this is one of the novels about the Civil War, and I definitely would suggest that one.
Okay. And does he have
more than others.
Just one as well?
Yes, he has others.
Okay.
So almost anything, but start with The Killer Angels.
Okay.
I think now I'm on a Civil War jag, which may not be what your husband's particularly interested in, but there's another wonderful, I mean, probably, well, nobody should get through life without reading Andersonville by McKinley Cantor, Kantor. And this is set in the notorious prison in Georgia, and it won the Pulitzer Prize in the 50s when it came out, and it's just kind of a wrenching experience to read, and amazingly wonderful. And you won't ever forget it.
Okay. Could you repeat the author's name for me, please?
The last name is Cantor, Kantor.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, let me just say one more. For Vietnam, there are two great books about Vietnam novels written this year that I think are fabulous. One is called Matterhorn by Carl Marlantes, Marlantes. And that's another enormous book. The author was a second lieutenant in the Marines. He was in Vietnam. He said it took him 34 years to write this book, and you just know that it took everything, both the war and the writing, were just kind of labors, things that he felt he had to do. It's amazing. And the other one is called The Lotus Eaters, and I think you should like that book. I don't know. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Is it by the same author?
No, it's by a woman whose last name is Soli, S-O-L-I.
Okay.
There you go. You're set, Laura. Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Jerry Ann has sent an email. Her most recent book is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. Gripping plus interesting structure and the most creative use of words language I think I've ever seen. Familiar with it, Nancy?
I am familiar with it. Very popular book. It's one of those books that was published as an adult book in Australia. And then when it was sold to the publisher in the United States, they decided to publish it as a book for teens. So it's one of those books that's great, just great for book groups, partly because you can talk about that whole, you know, how do we decide what's a teen novel? How do we decide what's an adult novel?
Mm-hmm.
And also for everything that the emailer said, that it's that, you know, the writing is great. It's an intriguing subject. The Giver by Lois Lowry is another book I think that would be really good. I know it's a really good book for book groups.
Okay. The Giver by Lois Lowry.
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk more about this? I was reading about you yesterday, and I wanted to ask you more about it. When people ask Nancy, this is from the journal standard.com, what should I read? She tries to suggest three books. Can you talk about this one pretty close to what you loved, and then the second one and then the third one?
Well, I borrowed this idea from Nordstrom's department.
Of course.
Because, you know, when you go in and you say, I'd like to see this, you know, pair, you look around and you pick out a pair of shoes that looks like what you want, they will bring out, they are taught, at least the stores in Seattle are taught to bring out not only that pair, but two other pairs. And the first pair will be exactly what you asked for. The second pair will be a little bit different, but the same idea. And the third pair will be a little more of a reach. And I think that if we make that a goal when we're helping people in the library, that what we do then is not only give them, not only suggest to them books that they will that they may like, but we'll also be helping to expand their world even further, because that reach book might come from a different part of the library. If somebody just reads fiction, it might be nonfiction. It'll still be related to how they talked about the book that they loved, but it won't be exactly from the same section of the library.
Hmm. Nancy Pearl is our guest, and we are talking books this hour, and congratulating her on her recent award, Librarian of the Year, given to her by the Library Journal. Our phone number, one line open if you'd like to join us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and the email is talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this hour, Ron Chernow will be joining us. His latest book is Washington, A Life. It is considered the definitive biography of George Washington. I have a lot to read today, but I've started it at least. I'm always interested in people's early lives and the relationship he had with his mother, and is fascinating, so as is his life. So he will learn a lot about George Washington, which is a pretty good use of an hour tomorrow. And this hour is a pretty good use of an hour, too, with Nancy Pearl. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Leah is next from Green Bay. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling for advice. Well, first, congratulations on your award. That's wonderful. And before I ask for the advice, I just remembered that the first time I ever heard of Nordstrom's Rack was when I was in Seattle many years ago looking for shoes in large sizes. And they have them, and they're really, really reduced. Anyway, well, I'm looking for advice on how do you bring books to the attention of librarians. For example, someone I'm working with just put together the letters that her husband wrote home from World War II, and we even have Joseph Ellis's endorsement on this book. But how do librarians find out about it?
Every library has their own way of purchasing books. Most libraries depend very heavily on the major book trade journals, like Library Journal, which does reviews, Booklist Magazine, which does reviews, Publishers Weekly does reviews, Kirkus, which also reviews books. And librarians tend to read those very closely, read the reviews, and decide whether those particular books will fit into their library's collection. With self-published books, which is what this sounds like, right?
It's amazing because this 19-year-old young man was taken out of Princeton and sent to Germany, and he was such a good writer and so observant. And I don't even like war stories, but I got caught up in it, you know?
Is it right. Is it self-published, Leah?
Yes.
It
yes.
is, okay.
Yes. So self-published books are harder because most of those journals want to see the books in galley format. They publish well in advance. They do their reviews well in advance of the publication date. I know that, you know, the best way to get this published, to get this noticed, you could take a copy to the library, and you can say, you know, I want to donate this to the library, and then they will decide whether they're going to add it to their collection or perhaps sell it in the Friends book sale. So with self-published books, unless you're prepared to do a lot of marketing and a lot of sales, you know, sort of out of the back of your car, it's a difficult road to hoe.
Yeah. Here's another email. I just finished The Hunger series by Suzanne Collins. I loved all three, but the first was my favorite. Any recommendations for a new read?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's a brand new teen novel out called Match. M-A-T-C-H-E-D. And the author's last name is Condi, C-O-N-D-I-E, I believe. I think it's going to be it's the beginning of a trilogy. I think it's going to be the next Hunger Games.
Mm.
It's set in an alternative world which is run by, like, a corporation. And on your 17th birthday, all the girls and boys during your 17th year, they're invited to a party, and at that party you get the name of the person that you're going to marry, because the corporation decides everything for what you're going to do, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, how many children you're going to have, all of that. And when the main character gets the name of the person she's going to marry, she's so surprised because it's her best friend. It's somebody, a boy that she's grown up living down the street from, gone to school with, you know, they're very close friends. And then she goes, when the dinner's over, she goes home and she looks at the picture that comes with that announcement of who she's going to marry, and it's a picture of a different boy.
Oh.
And so that just sets the whole thing in place.
Ooh.
It was really great.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I'm ready to read it. That sounds great.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Thanks, Leah, very much for the call. Joanne is next in West Dallas. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Thank you. I love the show. I just wanted to recommend for the caller whose husband was looking for historical fiction. These books have been out for quite a while, but the Zion Chronicles and the Zion Covenant, a series of 5 or 6 books each about World War II and the post-World War era when Israel became a nation again.
And who's the author? Do you remember?
Brock and Bodie.
Oh,
husband and wife team. T-H-O-E-N-E.
Right.
Eni.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't put them down, and they're just fascinating books.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Joanne, for your call. I want to read you part of a press release. I'm sure that there are many such press releases being released by departments of instruction throughout the country. This came to us just this week, Nancy, from the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin. Over the last 5 years, public library visits in Wisconsin increased by more than 10%. Circulation of library materials increased by 15%. And yet the library staff per capita decreased by 2%. So it's, I think, important to remember what libraries are doing for us all the time, and particularly in times of economic need. You know, and they're doing it for less than they used to get.
Right. Yeah. The library is one of the two last small-d democratic institutions in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And not to see really healthy public support, both by our elected officials and the people themselves, it makes me very, very sad.
It's so crucial in our lives. Is it still crucial? It's increasingly crucial in people's lives. The use of libraries is going up.
Absolutely. And I mean, people are using libraries perhaps differently from the way they used them when I was growing up. So I always have to be careful that anything, I have to be careful of the nostalgia that really threatens to overtake me sometimes. Mm-hmm. When I think about libraries, I think that libraries, not only, as you said, in times of a bad economic period, libraries are places that can help you live a better life, however you define that better life, whether it's finding a new job, whether it's taking the GED and wanting to learn how to study for that, whether it's whatever, or
right,
whether it's finding something to read that will just enrich your life, something to watch, something to listen to. I think often librarians don't do as good a job as they could in selling themselves to the and the library to the importance of the for the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you hear from important people, yourself included, that a library for you was really a refuge. It helped save your life in many ways. It helped you become who you are.
It did. And it was those librarians, those children's librarians, that really showed me that there were different ways to live. You know, there were different ways of being than I knew. And that was, that was eye-opening. It was those librarians who introduced me to Tolkien, to Kenneth Graham's The Wind in the Willows, Mary Poppins. They were wonderful to me, and they let me stay in the library as long as I wanted.
Mm.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Of course you would be emotional about it. You can be as emotional as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Joanne, for the call. We go to Boyd next in Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning to Nancy. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Ironically, today I'm not working today, so I actually have to make a trip to the library to return some things and get some new books. What do you know? A few things I'm reading, and then I just am in the first two books of this graphic novel series. It's actually not new. It's called Bone by Jeff Smith, and you were mentioning some fantasy earlier, and it sort of has a fantasy element to it, but Jeff Smith puts a different twist on this, and it's really quite good. The art is very, very amusing, and it's something that even kids can read, too, and I would recommend that to anyone. I am actually going to be picking up today a book that you recommended, Nancy, when you were in Milwaukee, the Laura Lippman book, since it is Poe's birthday is coming up in a few days, and it deals with the Poe toaster, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So I'm actually going to get that today, and I'm reading, and since it is, since we're on the topic of Poe, a very good anthology by the Mystery Writers of America, On a Raven's Wing. And so far, so good. It has some very good authors, Mary Higgins Clark, James Hall, and Thomas Cook, to name a few. And then a biography by Silverman, based on Poe. So that's the one thing that I did want to ask, and I'll let you go, is when you were mentioning about historical mysteries before, one that caught my eye, and I was wondering if you've read it. Have you read Whiskey Rebels? I forget who the author is, but it takes place post-Revolutionary War.
Is it Caleb Crane or one of those, or Matthew Pearl? I don't remember. I have not read it. I have a master's degree in history, and I think during graduate school I overdosed a bit, so I can't read too much historical fiction in a row. But I will put that on my list and get to it.
Here are some, and happy Poe's birthday to you, Boyd. I know you celebrate that day, and it's great to celebrate an author's day. A question from Juliet. My 8-year-old loved all 7 Harry Potter books, but we're struggling with good books at her reading level whose content is not too mature.
Right.
Do you have any suggestions?
There's a book called, now, if it's fantasy, the choices are almost unlimited. There's Diana Wynne Jones, Wynne-Jones, who's a British writer. She would be wonderful. Half Magic and the other books by Edward Eger would be another really good one. The Graveyard book by Neil Gaiman, which won the Newbery Award last year.
Okay.
Which has a very scary first chapter. And if you're concerned about content at all, that's when I think I would have you or her parents read it first, which is a great, enjoyable experience, I have to say.
And another email, this one, I am intrigued by your present program. I'm wondering if you could suggest books for teenage boys 18 to 20 who are not easy to persuade to read. Contents that trigger their interest are current events in a form of fiction.
I'm not sure why it necessarily needs to be fiction. I would think that any kind of fast-moving story would get to them, you know, would sort of encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called Agent Zigzag, and 2 books by Ben McIntyre, Agent Zigzag and Operation Mincemeat, which are about World War II, both of them.
Okay.
They're just great. They're just really, really great. Fiction, Neal Stephenson's Cryptonomicon is, you know, again, that's going to be shelved probably with fantasy, but it's really a historical novel about code breaking, about World War II, about Bletchley Park. I think I'm getting caught up in all of that, in that World War II, Britain's Finest Hour, all of those things, which is, you know, just an intensely exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for all those emails. We go to Doug next in Bloomer. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Doug, how are you?
I am very fine, Kathleen, and congratulations, Nancy.
Thank you.
My 2 authors, they're a husband and wife team. Kathleen O'Neill Gear and W. Michael Gear.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever read any of theirs?
Uh-huh. Yes, I have. And I mentioned them in the book lust book, one of the book lust books that I wrote, recommending them.
One of the series that I am just finishing is called the Anasazi series.
Uh-huh.
And the last book in that is The Bone Walker. And it's a very gripping book. The whole series is. You have the same characters in all three books, right up through this third book. And it goes from the time of the Chaco Canyon era to present day, involving archaeologists, and they get tangled up with, like, witches and trying to figure out why, you know, so much has happened at these archaeology sites that they are called to, you know, the burn bones, the,
right.
the mm-hmm. you know, teeth marks on the bone, that kind of thing.
I know that they're extremely popular. They're also very, you know, many, many libraries, you know, buy them because they are so popular. They're also frequently available at both new and used bookstores.
Okay. Thank you, Doug, for your recommendation. Sue in Harmony, Minnesota. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Sue.
Thanks for taking my call. I have to admit to having a longstanding love affair with books and libraries. One of my favorite things to do is go to the library. So thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. My question is that I have, due to an illness, I have some challenges with my sight. And so I listen exclusively to books on tape, audiobooks. And lately I've been having trouble finding books on tape in our libraries. Area in the Selco system, which is our system here. And so I'm asking for some, if you would have some recommendations. I do belong to a book club, and they also make sure the books are always on tape for
right.
me. Some of my favorite books that I read recently, a while ago, was Water for Elephants, The Help, Sarah's Key, North River by Pete Hamill, The Kite Runner, The Secret Life of Bees. I like, you know, books that run along this vein.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, more and more and more books are coming out on tape. Not on tape. You can see what era I'm living in. They're coming out as
audiobooks.
I'm in
the same one.
And there's a company, actually, does your library, can you download books automatically on your MP3 player or iPod?
Actually, I don't have either one of those.
Okay. I mean, that might
be... Oh, we can't.
You know, they're not. The iPod is more expensive, but the MP3 player would probably just do just fine, and they're pretty inexpensive. But most libraries now have a service that you can download and check out books on audio books, and it's very simple. And then you have them there. There's also a company called Audible.com that sells books on tape. Audiobooks. So that's another source for them.
Audible.com.
Yes.
Okay.
A book that you might want to try is called The Little Friend by Donna Tartt, T-A-R-T-T. The cover I thought was very off-putting. And then I heard she loved the cover, so that made me... Well, I never would have read it had I seen the cover, but I just loved that book. If you're, you know, interested at all in mysteries.
Yes, I do. I love the books by Lisa Scottolini.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's great. There's a writer named, another Philadelphia writer named Lashner, L-A-S-H-N-E-R, who writes a series of mysteries. With those, I'd start at the early ones. I don't read the last one that he published, which is kind of either the beginning of a new series or a standalone. So go back to his earliest book.
And how do you spell his name again?
L-A-S-H-N-E-R.
Thank you.
And then there's some, if you want to go across the Atlantic for some just wonderfully fun books, mysteries set in England, in a small town in England, read the novels The Mysteries by Alan Bradley, B-R-A-D-L-E-Y. And they all feature an 11-year-old girl named Flavia Deluce, who lives in this crumbling house with her widowed father and her two older sisters.
Oh.
And how she's and they're just delights. And the third one is coming out this year.
So it's a Bradley, R-A-D?
No, Bradley. B-R-A-D-L-E-Y.
Thanks, Sue, so much for the call. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour as we talk books with the Librarian of the Year. She was just honored with that, among many other honors she's received, but Librarian of the Year from Library Journal. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. There is a line open now if you'd like to grab it. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this hour, Ron Chernow is our guest, and we talk about George Washington. Ron's latest book is Washington, A Life. Betty from Wauwatosa. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Thanks very much for this program. I have two books to suggest, which I've recently enjoyed. And actually, the first one is kind of a revival book. It was written long ago, called The Moonflower Vine by Jetta Carlton.
Right.
Have you read this?
I have. I read The Moonflower Vine when it first came out.
And did you enjoy it?
I did. I liked a lot. The writing, I thought, was really wonderful. Didn't you?
Yes, I did. My home state is Missouri, so it was set there, so that probably helped me enjoy it. The other one is called Driftless by David Rhodes.
Yes. Oh, you know, somebody, several people have recommended that to me. And,
uh-huh.
And that's
another
one that I think is really good, too.
Well, the author had written a book apparently 30 years ago, and he came out, this was his next book 30 years later,
oh.
And it did have the same characters in it. I read the earlier book, and I did not like it as well, but this one I liked very much, Driftless.
He just needed 30 years to get a little more interesting, right?
Yes, and as I recall, this author has some physical difficulties. I think he's paralyzed.
Oh.
So, well, those are my two suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
Those are great.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. Mary is next in Juneau. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Just wanted to say that when this program comes on, I am ready with paper and pen, and I write down names. And
all right.
I just keep lists, and I love this. Also, our little beautiful library in Juneau is just, there's so many cutbacks, and I'm aware of how deeply I appreciate it.
Hmm.
And just that. So I wanted to share that I also read the Lotus Eaters and found it spellbinding. I loved it.
Oh, good. I love hearing that.
Yeah, I really did. And the other little book that I just finished and enjoyed, and I don't remember his name, was A Dog's Purpose. A Dog's Purpose. P-U-R-P-O-S.
Oh. Huh.
It's just deer uh-huh. and sweet, and I enjoyed it.
Huh.
And people who love animals might just sort of be taken by them.
There's another dog book, nonfiction, that I think is really enjoyable, too. It's called Last Dog on the Hill by Steve Duno, D-U-N-O.
Last Dog on the Hill. And I like the Seattle writer.
Garth Stein?
Yeah, I love uh-huh. that book. The Art of Racing in the Rain, is that
yeah.
it? Uh-huh. I like that book.
Yeah, and he's such, you know, it always, for me, it always makes a difference when I like the author personally.
Is the author nice?
He's very nice.
Is he?
Very generous with his time and helping, you know, good causes. And yes, very, very nice.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Thank you, Mary, for your call. Judy in Round Lake Beach, Illinois. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'd like to recommend for those people who like biographies, Wait for Me by Deborah Mitford. One of the famous Mitford sisters, the
right.
Duchess of Devonshire. It's yep. fabulous.
And in fact, all the books about the Mitford sisters, are, the Mitford family, Hans and Rebels by Jessica Mitford, which is her very first memoir, is wonderful. There's also, if Deborah's who you're particularly interested in, there's a really good book called In Tearing Haste, which is an exchange of letters between Deborah and this great, great, great travel writer named Patrick Lee Fermor, F-E-R-M-O-R. And those are really fun.
Thank you. I will read that one. And the nice thing about this biography, when I finish a biography, I always want to know more. And
right.
in this case, you can, because you can read about all the different sisters. And also, I'm just reading about Chatsworth, her home,
uh-huh.
which is absolutely fascinating. It was depicted as Pemberley in the most recent Pride and Prejudice film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
But doesn't that make you just want to go there?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel.
Thank you. Thanks, Judy, for the call. Justin from La Crosse, my wife and I really enjoyed Peak last winter. I would strongly recommend this book to anyone who loves adventure. We'd like to read another adventure novel along the same lines. Does Nancy have any recommendations?
There's a book by David Roberts and Ed Viesturs, V-I-E-S-T-U-R-S. And it's called... In the title, it's a long title or has a long subtitle. It's about climbing K2, which is really even more dangerous to climb than Everest.
Hmm.
And it's about, I think, six of the major climbing expeditions over the years on K2. So that's, you know, that's certainly one. John Krakauer's Into Thin Air, I mean, I think that's another book that just is amazing. You just can't put down. When we talk about books reading like a novel, that's the book that's one of the books that does that. When I wrote Book Less to Go, one of the categories is about people rowing across the Atlantic. and that was really fun to read, all those books. But somebody emailed me and the subject line said, Book Lust to Row. And then she said, after reading those books in that section, all she wants to do now is row the Atlantic.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said, and so she started taking rowing classes.
Oh, no.
Yes. And she said when she told her mother that she was going to do this, her mother wrote back and said, could you please wait till you're 60 and I'm dead?
I'm with her mother. Oh, that sounds scary.
I know. And then there's another bicycling adventure book called Into Thick Air, which is about a geologist from Arizona. And he's not the sort of person you would think would be the go-to guy for bicycle adventure stories, but he decided every summer for 6 years he was going to bicycle to the lowest spot on each continent.
Oh.
And that's great fun as well.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Judy, very much. Let's go to Jill in Madison. Hello, Jill.
Hi. Pleasure to talk to you. Two quick questions. One, when I'm not listening to NPR, I listen to audiobooks. And I'm just curious what your guest's opinion is in listening to a book as opposed to reading a book. And then the second question is, Jeanette Winterson has always been one of my favorite authors, but there hasn't been anything new from her recently.
No.
And so I was just curious if there's another author that hits same sort of right between poetry and prose that her books do.
You might try Emma Donoghue. Donoghue. Her newest book is Room. I don't know that I would start with that one. I mean, they're not in any order. They're not linked internally. But Slammerton is quite a good one. The other author is, she wrote a book called In the Company of the Courtesan, which is set in Venice in the 1500s, I believe. And her name just has escaped me. But she wrote three books. Again, you don't have to read them in any particular order, but I think even better than Donahue, I would do In the Company of the Courtesan.
Okay. Thank you for the calls. Oh, Nancy, thank you. It's a great way to start the new year to speak with you.
Me too.
Yeah, it was fun, and I'm so happy you're going to Wales. I'm anxious to...
I know.
It's going to be good. That's going to be good. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Nancy Pearl, who has just received the award of Librarian of the Year from the Library Journal. She received this at the Midwinter Conference of the American Library Association, and she has done so much for the world of books and libraries. She loves to read, and read she does, and is so generous with all of her suggestions. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and to Rhonda as well for on-air production. Tomorrow during this hour, the life of George Washington. Ron Chernow will be our guest. Ron is the author of Washington, A Life, and it's a very thorough biography of George Washington, and fascinating, too. So Ron's with us tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening. Great conversations ahead here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.